I guess I've started by telling people a little bit about what my project is and then asking for some of your memories. I'm just interested in the history of the garden and what it's been as a place for people and how it has been run as an organization, its relationship with the university, and really people's memories of what made the garden what it is or was. So I've started by asking people what you remember most about the gardens.
Well, it was a very nice, peaceful place. Mm-hmm. For me, it was a big learning experience. I had never had a garden before, but I liked the idea of it. And I was surrounded by other people who knew more than I did and who mentored me in the early years, and I could mentor them some other ones in the later years. And it was a place where it was safe for the kids to be playing, too, while I was in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I think I really get the nature part, you know, living in an apartment, don't get that otherwise, just being out and about and safe out that place.
When did you move to Eagle Heights? When did you get the garden? How did you find out about the garden plots?
I think I might found out about it in the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was called the Eagle Heights newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved in the summer of 85.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure when we found out, but in 86 when we became gardeners.
Okay. And then how long did you have a plot?
I think I still in the year that we actually left late summer, that was in 91.
Mm.
And I was the president of the garden club for at least one season.
Mm.
I couldn't tell you the year.
No, that's okay. What was it like to be head of the committee? What did you have to do? Why did you decide to join the committee?
Well, I started, you know, a community garden like it can only run if people volunteer for it. And
mm-hmm.
the one guy who really helped me out the first year, he was very active in the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess through him probably became involved with that. And, you know, our family, I'm the gardener, my husband is not, so he was a student, I was a gardener, if you will. And I became active in the committee, and I probably was on the committee for several years, although I really don't remember the details.
Mm-hmm.
But when he left, I think it was when I became the president, and I was president for maybe a year or two, I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I know I was distinctly, I remember I was on the committee, if not even the president, in 88. That was the year my son was born, and my garden was probably one of the worst overgrown. Rather ironic and a little bit embarrassing. But I just couldn't keep up with it.
So do you remember what you did as the head of the garden committee? Do you remember it being hard, easy, what kinds of...
I think it was hard. I know we always had articles in the newsletter during the season,
mm-hmm.
a little bit before the season started, and we had to do as a committee, we had to allocate the plots,
mm-hmm.
depending on how many plots people wanted, and we tried to get them the same plot back as they already had one the year before.
Mm-hmm.
There were some issues with the water.
Oh.
Which was it, building the water system, or whether there was something with the water too. And then we had to organize, I didn't do it myself, but we had to organize it, the city, or was it, somebody dumped a huge amount of leaves there for us to use as mulch.
Mm.
And we talked about what kind of wheelbarrows or garden wagons to have there for people to use
mm-hmm.
to move that mulch to their garden plots.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the biggest issue really each year was people, when they sign up for the garden plot, they not only paid for the garden plot, but they also had to volunteer for either set up or tear down
mm-hmm.
beginning or end of the season. And our problem was that those who signed up to be at the cleanup at the end of the season, you didn't show up. And
oh, no.
There was a huge discussion how to make them actually do the work they're committed to do.
Mm.
And there was a lot of back and forth on how that should be implemented, and it was pretty heated in between.
So what ways did you try to get people to fulfill their duties of volunteering?
Well, one idea, I'm not sure whether we implemented that, certainly floated around, was to have them pay a deposit and then get it back at the end of the season if they had done their chores. Mm. I think we did it for a while, but I'm uncertain. But I do know that was my idea, and I know I was vehemently opposed at first, as being way too militant about it. And so, you can see it was pleaded. And I don't think it ever really truly went 100%, but I think we all did enough volunteers to make it a reasonable job to do.
Mm-hmm.
What we also organized was, I think towards the end of the season, we always had a nice bonfire where we had to tell the fire department beforehand, and I forget now what we burned. I can't say what we burned. I don't know. But we always had a nice fire up with the potatoes and dance around the fire, that sort of thing.
That's nice.
I can't remember that I was there. I must have been probably, but I don't remember that actively.
Yeah.
But that would be a nice community kind of thing to do.
Did you feel that there was a strong community at the gardens? Did you interact with people when you were out? What was it like to be out in the gardens when you were there?
Well, like I said, when I first seen, I didn't really quite know about gardening. I thought just put the seeds in, and then that's what I did, and then all the weeds. Now which one are the things I actually have tried to grow? And that's where I got some mentoring from the gardening neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed us, these are the carrots and these are the radishes or whatever I had planted, and so I was able to pull out the weeds and let the actual plants grow. And then he taught me kind of to plant it in rows, so it's more easy to keep track of things. I was really rather wet behind my ears there. And he really helped me out the first year. And for the second year, I knew much more, probably because I was starting to read, maybe, or seed catalogs, I forget now. But I felt much more competent the second year.
Uh-huh.
And then when I saw some other people struggling, I just gave them a few tips then too. And it was interesting. For me, really interesting thing was to see vegetables I'd never seen anywhere, like Chinese, Asian, whatever, South American kind of thing, what other people were growing.
Yeah.
And just to be, I would ask them what that was that they were growing, and I got some questions about my vegetables too. And it was very rewarding just to learn more about other cultures through the food parts too.
Yeah. What kind of vegetables did you grow that people were asking you about?
I think kohlrabi was one of the ones that nobody knew about. Somebody asked me, why do you plant potatoes? They're so cheap to buy in the market. I said, well, because I wanted to try it out. Those kind of things too.
Yeah.
We tried out the sweet potatoes, which was a real new thing for me. And it was exciting because it really worked well that year. It was a good season for it.
I would love to grow sweet potatoes. I love them.
Yeah.
They're delicious. The plants you grew, were there discussions about organics versus not, or were there rules about what people could do in their plots? How did that work?
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Were there rules about what techniques of gardening people could use? Could people do, like, pesticides or insecticides, or what? Were there conversations about organic?
I think we reserved the more uphill part for the organic gardeners and the more downhill parts for people who want to do conventional gardening.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, there was a kind of rule. And I think it was pretty well observed. That's what I seem to remember. But I think we had then more organic gardeners than we had rows for, so I'm not sure what was done about that. Yeah, that was, I think, a movement towards getting away from chemicals and when a good amount of gardeners there.
Yeah,
I don't remember the exact details, but I actually got it in the 80s and early 90s.
Pretty
advanced.
Yeah, it would be pretty advanced for people to be working towards organic. What were some of the biggest problem? What about weed rules, and how did people react to weeding? Did you have to? Was anything about weeding enforced? What conversations did you have about that?
Yeah, I think we always had somebody hired to be the mower between the garden plots. Mm-hmm. That's usually worked reasonably well. There are some summers where it wasn't done properly. And then when it comes to the plots themselves, well, there was something about it could not be taller than a certain amount of feet. Mm-hmm. And then you got a yellow flag posted on your I think each gun had a post with a number on it. And when it was on the red one, then you got mowed then within a week or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you have to enforce that as part of the committee?
Every once in a while, a garden plot actually was mowed down. But I don't know. It was done by the person who had this job of mowing anyway. So I know it was discussed in the committee meetings too, but I don't think it happened all that frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't really want to discourage gardeners. You wanted to rather encourage them to get going again on the plot and get it working again.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we didn't want to destroy what they had started. We wanted them to get, you know, pushed a little bit harder to work a little bit and actually reap the harvest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have, what interactions did you have with the university over land or how the gardens were run? Was there anything like that, or was it pretty much self-running and self?
I don't remember any interaction. The land was, I think, there was some kind of a low-rent kind of agreement between, probably the university who owned the land, but I'm not quite sure. But I wouldn't know. A lot of stuff was already in place before we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a whole lot. I think we had every once in a while the chief of the Eagle Heights management there sit in on our committee, but I don't think that's a committee with another committee altogether.
Mm.
I think it's pretty self-contained, though, but there must have been some interaction on some level because of the leaf piles and such, and the water. I mean, we paid obviously for the water use and those kind of things. And I do not know. I didn't have the interaction myself. I know that.
Yeah.
I would remember that.
No, that's fine. I'm curious because it seems to have flown under the radar of the university for so long, and so, you know, it was just there and self-sustaining, which is really spectacular.
I have no idea when it was started, but I was so happy to find it in existence when we moved there. It was really
Did people talk about it? Were there people besides Eagle Heights students that gardened then, or was it just students? Do you know?
I think it was only open for the Eagle Heights students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the plots were always filled. I don't think we had openings after the season started.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all had limits of how many plots we could have, and we could only have more if there was an extra available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many plots did you have?
I don't remember. I think I had more than one, but in between, I couldn't say that too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I had more than that. Maybe I had three, but I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
It's a lot of work.
I've been in other community gardens since, and that's why it's a little bit hard for me to remember the details of what was in each garden.
Yeah. So once you moved, why did you decide to be in other community gardens, and how were they? Yeah, what made you decide to keep gardening, especially in other community gardens?
I like the idea of self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
I like also to know where the food comes from, especially for the children. I think it's very important for them to see the cycle of, you know, planting, working on it, and ultimately harvesting. It doesn't just show up on the table or in the grocery store or on the farmer's market or whatever. There's actually some work involved.
Yeah.
I think it gives them much higher value. They just don't... You just toss things freely just because you only pay a few dollars, but it's actually hard work to grow that stuff.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of knowing it, you know, what went into it, pesticide and such-wise, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're quite poor at that point, even being student family. So for me, it was also a way to get healthy, fresh foods without having to pay a huge amount of money.
There was a big
impetus for me too to get some really inexpensive fresh food that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you do canning or freezing, and how did you deal with all the surpluses that usually come with the glut of garden food?
We froze the eggs better. Mm-hmm. And I also learned to use more seasonally, because it was there, we cooked more with it, and had to make a lot of stir fries.
Yes.
I think the best way, I think a little bit of everything, you know, yeah. Stir fry.
Yep.
What kind of things. And we had ate really more seasonally, and then we had a freezer full of, pretty full actually, at the end of the season, with our produce too, and it stretched through the winter too.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of basic vegetables then too, like carrots and such things.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes so much better. Yeah. You grow them yourself, too. Oh. That was a big surprise to us, how the taste, the freshness of the carrots in particular, you can't even buy on farmer's market that fresh, and
yeah.
Not in the store. And that was a big surprise to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like pulling a carrot out of the ground and rinsing it off right away and eating it. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's the best taste. So much. So much. Did you... When you were helping with the cleanup days, did you also participate in the gleaning or taking from other plots? And did you feel like a lot of plots were abandoned by the end of the season, or no? And how did that work?
I don't know anymore.
Mm.
There must have been, you know, probably was an abandoned plot. I mean, obviously I abandoned mine, but I moved in August. I think we moved out.
Mm-hmm.
But I had planted that year already, with it in mind, planted only early season vegetables.
Mm.
I could imagine there might have been some leftovers.
Yeah.
There might have been kind of healing going on, but I don't know. I don't remember that. I can't imagine anything was wasted considering I was a student in the garden. I would imagine that there was something, but I don't remember anymore. There must have been something in place to use that had been not used by the garden themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah.
I know in the committee we divided up who was in charge of which. Supervising which aspect of the running of the garden. So mm-hmm. I don't think I was involved in the cleanup really myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was, I think, more in the distributing the plots and such. I led it that for a season or two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was it hard?
It was a very sizable job, and we tried to make it really difficult for students with families. You know, this was not supposed to be a full-time job in itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is needed. Did people demand certain things of their plots? Was it hard to distribute so that everybody got...
Sorry,
I didn't realize I just leaned over again. Was it hard to distribute the plots? Did people demand certain places in the garden or things that they needed in their plot, or did you mostly just assign people randomly and they were okay with
that? Well, I think we reassigned the same plots to those who are repeat gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy. Then I think we only had, I think people could only say organic or didn't care kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And first come, first serve, I think, went into there too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember, of course, back then on paper. I love to play with it, actually, and see if people wanted more than one plot, how they fit in around those who had already pre-existing bits. And it was actually fun, because I was like a jigsaw puzzle. I enjoyed it. I remember that. It was not a super small job, but it was a fun one to have, too.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we made some kind of poster that we hung in the we had a wooden board
mm-hmm.
moved over behind glass or something like that out in the garden, and we hung up then this which plots belonged to which name then.
Mm.
Which order we did with the name first or plot number first, but mm-hmm. we assigned it visibly so we could actually look up at our neighbors where to and whose plot didn't look so good or whose plot looked especially nice.
Yeah, a little bit of a competitive streak when you begin gardening sometimes.
I don't know how many people really use it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think I use it more kind of who is next to me and who is that one across from me, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Who is that darn it, who again plants all these tall things that put a shadow on my plant, that sort of thing. But no, for me it was not so much competitive, but rather kind of amazed what people could do.
Mm-hmm.
And some people were amazing with their gardening skills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the diversity, too, a lot of other gardeners have mentioned that.
I could imagine there might have been also some people who either came from the farms, being Wisconsin, or those who were studying whatever kind of special techniques, too.
Mm-hmm.
So intensive gardening might have been in there, too, although I would have been oblivious to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I I know some people got much more out of the gardens than I did, and I probably practiced something very intentionally of which I didn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wide variety of styles. Mm-hmm. Wide variety of styles.
But what I really enjoyed was how my children, the little ones are carried on my back or front or something. It was physically exhausting, but it worked. Mm-hmm. And with my toddlers, of course, it was tricky because it would pull anything out indiscriminately. But as soon as I became 2 years old or so, they really became interested in helping and knowing which ones are the plants we leave in there and which are the plants we pull out as weeds. That became a real nice way of communicating with my children and let them grow up, mm-hmm. knowing more than I had as a child.
Did you see other women out with their children too when you were out?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you see other women out with their children as well? Was that also a social interaction, or was it mostly just in your plot with your kids?
No, there were sometimes some kids, but I don't remember the big playground sort of thing mm-hmm. either. Mm-hmm. I think people just came whenever they had a chance. Often, I think it was their husbands coming in the evening. Were often the students, especially amongst international students, were often the husbands who were the students, and they were often the gardeners, it seemed to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved, I did my gardening whenever I could do it. I forget now what I was doing, but I loved to go before dinner time and harvest my vegetables for the dinner.
Mm.
That was sort of my time to go out there, this small chunk of time, specifically to harvest something and see what to cook with it. So I made a plan or whatever to harvest that day and
mm-hmm.
cook that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so nice with the, when it's getting cool and it's not hot out anymore, like the Wisconsin summers sometimes get, and to choose your vegetables.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you use the lands around the gardens at all? For the, out to Picnic Point, or for walks in the woods, or the fields, or was it mostly just the gardens?
No, my kids, I let them, when I was a little bit older, let them play on the edge of the woods there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But no, we didn't use it for anything recreational otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of nice to get a different angle, too, from the hill there at the top. And I remember there was this one property, I forget what the story about that one was, a little house closer to the lake and down the hill, and it was a story, it's a rumor, but I forget now. But it's kind of nice because it felt like, well, it's a nice old settlement somewhere there,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't know anything, it's probably some rich people.
Yeah.
I don't know anymore what the history was. I forgot that now. But it was kind of nice to get a little bit of a glimpse of how it had all developed at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we are totally new to the area.
Yeah. Yeah. So a glimpse into the land's history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's nice. I think we've covered a lot. Is there anything you thought that I would ask you about that I didn't ask you?
No, I don't think so.
Any final memories? It's been really helpful.
Yeah, but I also really enjoyed, there was everywhere on the lake, of course, with the red-winged blackbirds, which you can hear everywhere. But we had some other birds up there in the garden. Yeah, I forget what they're called, the ones that pretend to have a broken wing if there's a nest nearby.
Mm.
The mother bird pretends to have a broken wing, so you go after her and after her young ones. We had some ground nesting birds there too, and it always was a kind of, what do we do with that now? And it was terrifying with birds like that. I felt like we just walked us out of the apartment, just a few steps essentially, and we're out in the middle of almost untouched nature, which of course it was, but it felt so kind of surreal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Having been a big city girl myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very peaceful place for me. I really enjoyed gardening there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was hot and sticky in the summer, but I don't remember the hardship of it too much. I remember really enjoying going there and coming back home with some food.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you continued gardening when you left? Where else did you garden, and why?
Well, following year, the year after, we were in the position there, and we were in this student and faculty housing area. They had a small community garden. For me, it was kind of, again, getting my hands in the dirt and being involved on a different level. We moved around a few more times, but we were settled here. Our town here in Kent, Ohio, had a had a community garden. And where they had it back then was really not very far at all. So I could just go very quickly, just a 5-minute drive, and I was there. And I didn't have, we were renting a house, I didn't have very much land I could work. I mean, I was allowed to do a small garden patch, which was great, but I felt like I wanted more vegetables. Now, I think it's the main reason I still have a community garden, because my yard around the house now has too much shade. We're a very tree-rich city, which is gorgeous, but it doesn't allow gardening too much. And so I still do it because I love to raise my own vegetables. And it's not quite as convenient anymore because the garden had to move to some other plots. But it still works for me. And I want to make it work, and I could the house now, the vegetable that need more immediate care, more permanent, you know, more good care, like the slow growing carrots and beans and sorts of things, and in the big garden I have more tomatoes and peppers and such. I'm a little bit less needy of my time. And it works quite well. I still enjoy it. I still enjoy gardening. If I had a plot that's large enough, I probably would not do a community garden anymore. But it's kind of neat because I always like to look at all the other gardens and see how other people are doing things. Even if I don't see the people, I still see the footprint in the garden, if you will, and that touch in there. It's amazing what some people do, and I say, oh, I can maybe do this next time. And, what an interesting variety they have there, and, those kind of things. You always learn something new.
That's a really nice way of saying people's mark on the land. You still see their footprint in the garden.
I will never be the one who gets surprised with my plot. It looks very nice, very utilitarian at best. I try to keep it fairly weed free, but I don't make it my main hobby, but I really do enjoy doing it. And again, it comes to self-sufficiency, I think, largely for me, because we have a wonderful farmer's market now here in town, too, and it's really grown beautifully. But for me, it's, I like to have my head in the dirt and see something coming up as a result of my care and the sunshine and the season. And, some seasons are horrible, and as much as I regret it, I don't mind it too much, because it shows me also, we work tandem with nature. We end up superior. And I really like this humbling effect of gardening too. I think I'm going to lose sight of kind of we have the power here, nature or us. And I like that nature sometimes has put us in our place again.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very generous at the same time, And each season, and that's the beauty too that I've discovered, each season is very good for certain vegetables, even if it's not so good for some other vegetables. Like last year, we had a not very good tomato and pepper season because it was a very cool, wet summer. But it was gorgeous for lettuces and greens in general. But they're always something. Tomato 100%. There's always some beauty there, and something that really comes up well. And I really appreciate that.
That's exactly what my mom always says about her garden. She says, I always have one thing at least that succeeds, and that's what matters.
Right.
It always varies.
It's not always what we expected, but it's always something. And then you have special, whatever you get.
I forgot to ask you, is it okay if I use your real name if I quote you?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. I don't think
so. When I googled my name, actually, I found myself, I think, in connection with the Eagle Heights newsletter, too. It was kind of unrelated years ago that I googled my name. I don't normally do that. But obviously, my name is out there anyway, so what's the big deal? I'm fine if you use my real name.
Okay. If you're not, it's no problem for me to use a pseudonym also.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Use my name.
Okay. I think you've said some really beautiful things, and so it's okay. be a good thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we've covered it. I'd love to share with you what I end up with, which will hopefully be by the end of this summer. And so I'll probably send you maybe a PDF of my thesis so you can see it. And
that's great. I gave you the email address, right, didn't I?
No, I don't think that I do have your email address.
I'm sorry, do you have it?
No, I don't think I do have it.
Okay, I can give it to you.
Okay.
It's ALMUTH, my first name, MOM, I'm with mom, @yahoo.com.
At what.com?
At
Yahoo, okay.
Yeah. It'll be fun to hear what you do with it.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Is it a dissertation or is it a master's?
It's a master's thesis.
Okay.
Yep.
So well, good luck with that. It sounds like an interesting topic.
Thank you. I hope that it ends up something that's interesting but also useful for the people who have garden there and who garden there now. So
yeah. I take it the garden is still flourishing.
The garden is still flourishing, yeah. It's in the same place. I think the biggest changes from when you were there are probably that it's now open to community members as well as students, which I think people have mixed feelings about because students, I think there's more and more demand for plots, and that may lead to people who have been there a long time not having plots anymore. And it's also perennial, so rather than being plowed every year, it's not plowed at all, and so people have perennial plants. There are lots of raspberries and rhubarb and bulb flowers, and and people plant garlic over the winter, and so it's changed the things that people can grow in the garden.
That's quite a change. That's actually a nice change, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are you involved yourself in the garden?
I am. I've been trying to go to committee meetings, and I had a plot just last summer. As I've only been in Madison for, I guess, a year and a half now. So the one summer that I was here, I got a plot, and I'll have one this summer, too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you live in Eagle Heights or live in the community?
I don't. I live in the community. I should live in Eagle Heights. I spend all my time out there. But I go out often to the gardens, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's very.
Did they expand the garden then too? Is it open it up to community members or is it still the same size?
No, I think it's still about the same size as when you were there. Many fewer people have multiple plots though. So many people just have one plot rather than two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that helps. And I think we've actually lost some plots since you were there because of changing land use needs in the university community. So there was that point, the finger that went out. I don't know if you can picture it up at the top of the hill. I think there was a finger of plots that like extended past the block, and that's gone now. So, but it still seems as though there are enough plots for everybody who wants one, which is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why the year is still going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a few years later, after all.
It is quite a few years later, so.
Do you know how old the whole community garden is? Have you found that out?
I think, so it's either started in 1959 or 1960.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About 50 years old.
Yep. That's old.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good, very well established. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Well, good luck with your research and your writing then.
Thank you. I think I need it. I have lots to do before I get to the end, but it will be. It's been fun, really fun so far. I've loved talking to past gardeners because you're all fascinating people. So.
By when do you have to have it finished?
Hopefully by the end of the summer.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right.
A few months. Thank you so much for talking with me, Almuth. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
Okay. Bye.